Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Schon mal eine Ferienunterkunft gebucht, die der reinste Horror war?
Das sieht gar nicht aus wie auf den Fotos.
Ah, ist da eine Tür hinter all den Spinnen?
Dann probier eine App, mit der ein Happy End gewiss ist.
Ah, perfekt.
Alles gut, du hast bei Fevo direkt gebucht.
Five women vying against each other.
Mountaineers who put everything on the line to follow their dreams.
To be the first to climb all 8,000 meter peaks.
The 14 highest mountains.
Amazing sports stories from the BBC World Service presents Chasing Mountains.
Every step was an achievement.
Listen now by searching for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Našim poštama i našim bankama.
A rather well-mannered crowd on the streets of North Mitrovica. It's the Serb half of a deeply segregated city in Kosovo. Hundreds have gathered here to hear speeches and hold placards. They want an end to the Kosovo government's move to outlaw the use of their favoured currency, the Serb dinar. And those not protesting are queuing for as much cash as they're allowed to withdraw from the city's banks.
Da, mora svakog dana da se dolazi kako bi se podiglo 10.000 dinara.
Yeah, she has to come over here every day to withdraw her money from her account.
Is it enough for your family?
Naravno da ne.
Of course not.
Sve redom, ali redovi su veliki, pa onda...
We are old people and we face these queues every day just to withdraw a few euros.
It's really, really difficult right now. I was born here, I do not remember economically and socially that it was more difficult than right now. It's chaos.
It's chaos?
It really is, yes.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Ed Butler, and in assignment this week, I'm going to be looking at what lies behind the chaos that this woman's describing. How bad really is it for a Kosovo Serb population that feels caught in the middle of a wider, decades-old argument, one that continues to haunt this corner of the Balkans? For most of Kosovo's 2 million or so mostly Muslim ethnic Albanian inhabitants, the future nowadays points north and westwards, towards the European Union. Kosovo's economy is one of the poorest in Europe, and it depends heavily on money sent home from expats living in countries like Switzerland and Germany. The ambition for the majority here is to join the EU. But while they look forward, no one here is forgetting the country's past either. It was back in the 1990s, just as the former communist state of Yugoslavia, governed from Belgrade, had begun to disintegrate, that Kosovo's Albanians began pushing for independence. The Yugoslav president, Serbian strongman Slobodan Milosevic, responded with brutal force. Thousands died in the war of 1999. There were civilian massacres too.
War crimes investigators have established that at least 100 Kosovo Albanian men were shot by Serb police and paramilitaries in this field on April the 27th.
The conflict only ended after Western NATO powers launched a bombing campaign against Serbia's military. Kosovo became effectively independent, although to this day it's not recognised as a country by Serbia, Russia, China or the UN. Many Serbs see Kosovo as key to their nation, its historic birthplace. And Western journalists like me can sometimes be cast as the villains.
I want you in the UK to go through the same things that Serbs are going through. We are civilized people, and you are supporting the propaganda that's destroying us.
Propaganda from where? Whose propaganda?
Yours and all the others. You've done a great injustice to us when you decided to bomb Serbia. You can kill us. Well, I'm going to carry on speaking out.
Memories last in this region. Wounds remain fresh. But rather than seeking to heal them, both Kosovo's and Serbia's leaders now stand accused of whipping them up further. For his part, the Kosovan Prime Minister, Albin Kurti, has been reasserting Kosovo's credentials for full nationhood, demanding that all vehicles be registered with Kosovan number plates, curbing imports from Serbia, and now insisting that the euro, Kosovo's chosen currency, becomes the only legal tender. In his office in the capital Pristina, Albin Kurti tells me that the $150 million or so that Serbia gives annually to some Kosovans in salaries and benefits is hard to track. He says it could be feeding instability.
According to our constitution, Kosovo can have only one currency as means of payment. So we're just saying that as means of exchange, you can use euro only. Mm. Dinar belongs to previous century and to Milosevic. So, you know, you cannot, if Serbia likes dinar, then they cannot impose it on us. And
They're not imposing on you. You lived with the dinar for 20 years. I mean, just as you have with the euro. It has been a part of your functioning economy, and it works.
We stop them because they bring lorries with sacks of cash dinars that they print in Topčider in Belgrade. It's not going to happen, you know. We have to fight illicit activities. We have to fight the possibility of financing of terrorism. Therefore, we need to know who is sending money, to whom, for what purpose.
The threat of criminal gangs smuggling cash may be real, but it feels like a distant menace in places like this. The village of Garajdovac, nestled in the mountains of western Kosovo, population just 500. Bees buzz in the weak spring sunshine.
When we were little kids, all we thought about was freedom in a way, because we were secluded in a 2 kilometer radius of a village, and we felt that there was no escape.
Schoolteacher Boshika Vukanic doesn't remember the war of the 1990s. She was just a baby then. Now 27, she's always called this isolated enclave her home, surrounded on all sides by the much larger Albanian towns. Serbia proper is a 3-hour drive away.
We didn't have any friends besides those in the village. We didn't know anything about the outside world except what we saw on television and what other people told us. So we felt alone in this world, in a way. We had peace, but nothing good happened to us.
It's not all bad, as Boshika acknowledges. Some Kosovo-Albanians and Serbs do mix. They trade, and there is generally peace between the communities. But tensions are never far off. In the years immediately after the war, there were acts of reprisal, often targeting Serbs. In Garajdovac, children playing in the river were fired on by men with automatic weapons. 2 boys were killed that day. The gunmen were never identified.
My parents wouldn't let me go to the river to bathe because I was a little girl. I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old. But I do remember the sound of gunshots. I do remember the screams of the women, of mothers. And it was really a traumatic experience. And after that, I think it had to pass at least 10 years for anybody to go there to bathe in that river.
Do you remember how it changed things here?
Yeah, I do remember that Albanians weren't allowed to come to village, to pass through village, I think for 40 days, because it was bad blood, you know, you killed a child. And we still just want to know who did it, and he'll be punished.
It's extraordinary. I'm standing here outside the school, and there are these amazing mountains in front of us, nearly 3,000 metres high, with snow across the top of them still as the spring develops, and you can hear the birds' song. It's a beautiful spot here. This village has always been one of the main centres of the Serb population in this part of Kosovo.
Yeah, I guess so. The first time that this village was mentioned in one of the documents was around 1222, so it is a really old village.
And Serbs have long memories for these things.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We have a long memory because we do respect our heritage, and that's something that's embedded in our culture.
Now there is all this problem with the government stopping Serbs using dinar, the local Serbian currency. You are not being paid?
Yes, I cannot collect my salary.
So what do you do? How do you? What do you have to do to get the money?
Well, my brother had a trip to Belgrade like 2 weeks ago, so I gave him my credit card and he withdrew money and he transferred it to euros and he brought it back to me. So that's the only solution.
Well, that's the solution once. You just need your brother to keep going to Belgrade.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen because he needs to go to school.
So, I mean, are people, you've got other colleagues, right? The entire school is in the same position.
Yeah.
How do people feel about that?
What do you think? They are unsatisfied and angry, but, you know, it is what it is. We cannot change anything because no one listens to us. No one cares about us in a way, so we just say it is what it is.
The government says it's all about cutting down on illicit cash transfers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't accept that argument?
No, because if gangs are carrying currencies across border, they can do it in euros or, I don't know, pounds or anything else. So it's just an argument, political manipulation. People always suffer for some bigger, we call it in Serbia, bigger fish. Yeah.
You're a little fish.
Yeah, we are a little fish that gets eaten. Not a little fish, we are planktons, you know, the lowest of the low.
It's not just cash reserves that are drying up here. In the hospital back in North Mitrovica, the supply of medicines is running low too. Last year, the Kosovo government banned the import of goods from Serbia, including its often cheaper medications. Doctors have been sending patients to commercial pharmacies to find the drugs. But as I saw, the situation there is often no better.
This is Macedonian.
The pharmacist in this Mitrovica store shows me two packets containing similar asthma treatments.
Okay, so we've got one Serbian, one Macedonian packet. And is one much more expensive?
Oh, it's double expensive.
Twice the price. Wow. So is it? It's hard to fill your shelves with stuff.
Yeah.
She's nodding. This is a pretty empty pharmacy, I think it's fair to say.
But who's to blame for these shortages? Kosovo Albanians argue that they're getting by with exactly the same restrictions. And even some Kosovo Serbs, who make up just 4% of the Kosovan population, they acknowledge that the nationalist posturing by their own officials may be making things worse. Not a single Kosovan Serb politician was willing to speak to me for this programme. Across the Mitrovica Bridge, in the rather more affluent-looking cafes in the southern Kosovo-Albanian side of the city, people claim that the dinar restriction is not a big deal. Salaries could just be converted into euros, they say, if the Serbian authorities would allow that to happen. Neksamedin Spahiu is a professor of politics in the city.
The Serbs in Kosovo, they are receiving two incomes. I mean, the pension from Kosovo in euro, and they are receiving also the pension from Serbia, which is in dinar. So cutting one of them, that doesn't mean that you will die from famine. So,
do you think the story of hardship is exaggerated?
Of course that is exaggerated. I mean, it is a problem that has to be solved, of course, because their citizens, regardless to the ethnic background, so this is our national interest, but it harms our interest if dinar is circulating as a mean for payment in Kosovo.
So, how does it hurt your interest?
Because they avoid paying taxes, they do not pay anything. So this is not right.
It is true that Kosovo has long struggled to collect taxes from northern businesses, but some would dispute the claim that banning the dinar is necessary to make this happen. Kosovo Serbs also say that they can't open euro bank accounts anyway because Kosovo is refusing to register their businesses.
What about the blockade, though? I mean, the fact that local produce coming from Serbia, especially medications and things like that, can't cross the border anymore. That seems to be a more serious problem for many Serbs.
This is the measure that Kosovo government took to pressure Serbia to make an agreement, which Serbia avoids all the time.
So you think it's reasonable to block all of these goods coming across the border? Oh,
it is not reasonable, but it is, one of the tools to achieve something which is common interest for the whole region.
Many Serbs I've spoken to seem to feel like they're just stuck in the middle of a very big political game here. Do you have some sympathy for that opinion?
Yes, of course. They are the collateral damage of the fight between Kosovo state and Serbia state.
They're the victims.
They're victims.
Professor Neksamedin Spahu here on the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Lives Less Ordinary brings you remarkable personal stories from across the globe, from people who've chased their dreams.
No one knew that I was going to travel by bike. If I had told them that I was riding a bike to Egypt, they might have said that it was impossible.
To people who've lived through nightmares.
Being in jail in Thailand, I made a promise to myself in that jail that when I'm home, I'm going to volunteer somewhere.
Lives Less Ordinary from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Ed Butler on assignment in Kosovo, where it's not just Bosnian Serbs calling themselves casualties of the years of ethnic rivalry. The entire economy here has been affected. But it's not just Bosnian Serbs calling themselves casualties of the years of ethnic rivalry. The entire economy here has been affected. I'm now hurtling several hundred metres down a mine shaft.
It's not the smoothest lift I've ever caught.
The Trepša mine, just outside Mitrovica, has, for almost a century, been one of North Kosovo's biggest employers. 700 ethnic Serbs and Albanians currently work across several sites. This is Europe's largest lead, zinc and silver mine. But the state-owned business has fallen on hard times since the War of Independence. Local mine worker Ilmi Shabani shows me along the dank, flooded tunnels.
So water is the biggest danger down here, yeah?
Yes. And also for the dynamite. And this is very difficult. More dangerous, of course.
So he's lifting a really heavy pneumatic drill, the kind of thing you'd see a guy using maybe in a street drilling a hole, and he's pushing it up against the roof of this big cave we're in now, and he's firing it up into a cavity, into the roof. It's hot down here. I'm sweating just looking at these guys.
They drill these holes to put the dynamite. This is the classic way, but what can we do?
Back above ground, Ilmi leads me to the office of the mine's manager, Suso Sadiko, showing me a display cabinet full of excavated rocks, samples of the riches underground.
We sell it to the foreign companies, but unfortunately we sell it as a semi-product.
It's not refined here in Kosovo. Yeah. So gold and silver is also coming in these stones you're showing me.
Gold and silver, cadmium, and some other rare metals. But this is our bad luck, that we are having it under us, and we are selling it just for lead and zinc.
Who do you blame for that?
You know, the political situation in Kosovo is still not clear enough. That's the reason of lack of real development here. Pretense of Serbia are still in Trepča owning, you know.
So it's an issue of Serbia claiming rights over the mine as well as Kosovo itself?
According to me, this is the main reason. Interest of Serbia to be the main owner of Trepča.
Perhaps none of these economic concerns would matter quite so much if there weren't fears that the growing mutual resentment between the rival communities could potentially erupt into violence again. These were the scenes last year. Riots in North Mitrovica against the Kosovan government's get-tough policies. NATO troops sent to keep the peace were physically attacked. Then a confrontation with some heavily armed Kosovo-Serb gunmen in the village of Banska sent alarm bells ringing across Western capitals. Pursued by police, the gunmen, led by a local politician, barricaded themselves into a monastery before finally making their escape. The finger of suspicion immediately fell on Serbia itself for bankrolling the incident. But Serbia's president, Aleksandar Vučić, denied that. He told Sky News at the time that all the blame really lay with Kosovo's leadership.
Of course I do condemn it. It's not allowed at all. You can't do it. But the real issue is the roots of a problem. The reason why some people were mainly expelled from their thresholds. People are gradually leaving North Kosovo. You need to understand what is happening. There is something as a wider picture. Secession of almost 14% of Serbian territory.
When we went to find out more about what happened that day in Banska, our inquiries were either rebuffed or met with some wild theories in the village. A lot seems mysterious about this event, but the capture of some 20 carloads of weapons has certainly supported the claim by Kosovo's Prime Minister, Albin Kurti, that Serbia itself may be out to make trouble.
We have seized over 5 million euros value of military equipment and ammunition, all of it being produced in Serbia in the last couple of years. I think they wanted a new war. It did not happen, and we managed to eliminate 3 terrorists, but the consequence was that dozens of them managed to escape, and they are today in Serbia.
Why did you let them go? You had it surrounded.
We had a very long and large perimeter. We did not want any of the bullets of our police to end up in the walls of Serbian Orthodox monastery. The price that we paid was the fact that they managed to escape.
Some will say that you're responsible. I mean, your own friends, the EU and the US, say that you've escalated the situation, you've changed car number plates for Serb people, you've taken over local municipal buildings by force. You refused to honour Kosovan commitments to expand Serb self-rule. What do you say to that?
Serbs in Kosovo have their language as official language all over our territory at every level of administration. They also have 10 reserved seats in the parliament. So they have the most extensive rights in Europe as a minority. And whatever I have been doing in these 3 years in office is lawfulness and constitutionality. We have to fight illicit activities. We have to fight the possibility of financing of terrorism. It must be transparent.
Last year, you spoke to the BBC. You promised at that time you would do nothing to escalate the security situation in the country, nothing to make things worse. Some would say that in the months since then, things have got significantly more challenging in this country. Isn't it true that your agenda here is really to make life, particularly for ethnic Serbs in Kosovo, so difficult that they simply choose to leave?
A majority of Serbian minority accept the Republic of Kosovo as their country. However, we have to prevent Belgrade from bullying them. There is no danger from my government to Serbs of Kosovo. We cannot allow any individual or group becomes stronger than the state. And the state is rule of law for all and everyone.
There are some Kosovans pushing for reconciliation. This is Zenith, one of the many multi-ethnic rock bands that have emerged from Mitrovica's celebrated rock school. The four band members here are among 70 or so Serb and Albanian students who were enrolled at the school. Ethnic integration is key to its philosophy. Lisa Kosova is its director of operations.
That's a main aim of our school, to bring together youth from both sides of the city. As you know, the city is divided, so the youth go in different schools, different languages, with no contact with people from other parts of the city. So Rock School, in this sense, is providing a safe space for these young people to work together and to develop their creativity, which is something that otherwise is almost impossible.
But these initiatives are not the norm. The school depends on international funding just to survive. Mitrovica artist Miljana Mulatovic from the Serb northern side of the city says that the trend for most citizens is not to sing in harmony these days. Most of them are simply looking for the exit. The latest local elections have been boycotted by Serbs in this region, and politicians are preying on people's fears, Miljana says.
People who is living in Balkans, that is really emotional people, too much emotional maybe. And for this kind of people, you can very easy to make trouble if you need. When you start to talk with people here, you start from victim talk, Albanian and for Serbs. Because Serbs feel like not have a rights, Albanians feel that is not have a rights in the past and is don't want to forget. People in north especially want to be and stay part of Serbia. And people now is wake up in reality and everybody feel very depressive.
Because they don't believe they will be part of Serbia anymore. You think that that dream is dying?
Dream is dying now. Yeah. They don't have any more dreams. This is reality. Kosovo country.
Back in the village of Garajdevac, Boshika Vukanic takes the register. For today's class, there are just two pupils. It's a sign of the times at the school, she says. The village is emptying.
I don't want to leave, but I think that in the future, as things are from now on, we all will leave this village, unfortunately.
You'll be forced to leave?
I feel that, yeah.
By what?
By no jobs, no future, no foreseeable future. The problem of dinner is just like a drop in the ocean of other problems that we have and that we had had for a long time.
It's funny, you know, when you said that the founding of this village was like 12th, 13th century, and Serbs have a long memory for the ancient history mm-hmm. of these places. Do you think there's too much history?
Too much history? Maybe, but we love our history, we love our courage, and there is a saying from our famous writer, Dobrica Josic, that Serbs have won the wars, but they lost in peace, which is true.
Do you feel you're losing this peace?
Yeah, we are. We have been losing for 20 years, so we are still losing.
You've been listening to Assignment here on the BBC World Service, written and produced by me, Ed Butler. The editor was Penny Murphy.
Schon mal eine Ferienunterkunft gebucht, die der reinste Horror war?
Das sieht gar nicht aus wie auf den Fotos.
Ah, ist eine Tür hinter all den Spinnen?
Dann probier eine App, mit der ein Happy End gewiss ist.
Ah, perfekt.
Alles gut, du hast bei Fevo direkt gebucht.
The mountains are what keeps me motivated in life.
It's where we get to ask ourselves who we are and who we want to become.
At the turn of this century, five mountaineers set out on individual missions to become the first woman to scale all 14 of the world's 8,000ers. 14 mountains, all above 8,000 meters.
It was about pitting themselves against nature rather than each other.
They knew only one of them would succeed, but whether they liked it or not, it would come to be seen as a race.
Five women vying against each other.
The media needed to find some competition, and they find it.
A race with deadly consequences.
We are just not designed to live in this environment.
Getting down alive was my only goal in that situation.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service tells their story in Chasing Mountains.
Every step was an achievement.
Search for amazing sports stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.